I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
Okay, let me get my video screen shared, Mayor.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Well, Councilmember Deedy has been excused.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Page? I haven't heard from him, Mayor.
He just doesn't have his video on.
Hello, for present.
Thank you.
Okay.
Working on the technical difficulties.
Well, we just wanted to say present. We wanted to know you were here.
Present.
Thank you.
So I would accept a motion on the agenda approval.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The public comments are written public comments only and shall be included with the minutes. There are no public hearings. So our first new business is a resolution authorizing agreement with the Black Diamond Community Center for administration of the COVID-19 Hardship Assistance Grant Program. Ms. Miller.
So can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor, Council. Tonight you have before you a packet of material to approve an agreement with the Community Center to administer the economic hardship portion of our federal grant. Last week you approved the federal grant for $135,750, and this was a portion of that which the Community Center will administer for us. Their board at the Community Center voted to approve this agreement, and we're pleased to bring it to you tonight. This will help our Black Diamond citizens that have had hardships because of the virus. It's only eligible to those people who have lost income in some way due to the virus from March through October. But we think there will definitely be some of our residents in Black Diamond that can really use this money. We've developed two forms for the Community Center to use. We're going to print those up and take some to her and to Cedarbrook Mobile Home Park and also to the other few rental apartments in Black Diamond. We'll also put out notices in utility bills and on the city website to let our citizens know. The Community Center can award between $1 and $1,000 to citizens that reside in Black Diamond. They either have to have a utility bill or a landlord's statement saying they're renting in Black Diamond and that they were and state the reasons of their hardship. We're excited to offer this and hope you will approve this. It did go before our finance committee on August 6th and they recommended to bring it forward to you. And with that, I recommend you approve this resolution to have the mayor sign the agreement to work with the Community Center to administer this grant. Do you have any questions?
Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Linehan.
So I just noticed that there is one of the exhibits, it doesn't look like it made it into this. So there's an exhibit C to the document that's supposed to be the actual Department of Commerce grant that's referenced in the agreement, just to be attached. It looks like maybe the city forms got attached as exhibit B and C, but those forms together should be exhibit B, and then exhibit C should be the grant agreement.
I see, it's mislabeled, yes.
Yeah, it's just mislabeled. Need to just attach the Commerce grant agreement to that, but otherwise it looks great.
Is there any discussion?
I can make the motion to approve the resolution. I make a motion to approve resolution number 20-1375, authorizing the mayor to sign an agreement with the Black Diamond Community Center to administer a portion of the CARES Act COVID grant to assist Black Diamond residents with economic hardship assistance toward their rent or utility bills.
Second the motion.
Is there any further discussion?
Just one quick comment.
Okay.
Yeah, I really appreciate May's thorough walkthrough of this. I know we were able to talk about it yesterday, and I'm very excited for the way that, you know, the Finance Committee and May has been kind of working on addressing the most needs for the most number of residents. So I appreciate it, and I'm very excited to get this passed tonight.
All those in favor? Councilmember Stout.
The only thing I just wanted to mention, that there's a typo in the resolution that says COVISD instead of, you know, there should not be an S in the COVID, but that's a minimal.
And to add to that, with Councilmember Stout, I think they meant residents, like residents as the noun with TS versus CE, but I'm sure that maybe we can make that amendment or, you know, pass it as amendment if that's part of the rules, or if that is going to be a tie up for whatever reason.
Right, resident instead of residence, meaning a house.
Got it.
Right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I did want to mention that the mayor sent me a notice tonight that there is another grant opportunity where people can submit their name into a lottery to maybe get their name drawn for additional rent assistance, and we'll try to get that information out.
Thank you, May. The next item on the agenda is an ordinance regarding emergency comprehensive plan amendment to adopt school district capital facilities plans. Ms. Kincaid.
Hello there. Good evening. We had the discussion or the hearing on that with the Planning Commission, and we had a little discussion about what that comprehensive plan amendment would be. It's a piece of the package for working on the adoption of school impact fees. A comprehensive plan amendment is necessary because the language in the current comprehensive plan is not satisfactory to be able to really implement the school impact fee ordinance, should you choose to do that. So basically what the Planning Commission held their hearing, and you should have in your packet the proposed language changes, which are very minimal. It would change the text in chapter 8.8 of the comprehensive plan under public schools to name the specific school capital facility plans rather than the general inclusion language that's there now. And it also sets a policy, a new policy, that we would use school impact fees as as a mechanism to provide service to schools. So it's a pretty minimal language change to the text. And it's a part of the overall package for considering the adoption of school impact fees, and to have that language supportive in the comprehensive plan would be important. So that's why that's before you tonight. Any questions?
So I make a motion to approve ordinance number 20-1145 for an emergency amendment to chapter 8.8 of the city's 2015 to 2035 comprehensive plan.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is an ordinance establishing a school impact fee program. Mr. Linehan.
Good evening, Council. So we're back yet again talking about school impact fees. We've had a council work study at the end of July, and we had a public hearing at your first meeting of the month, this month, to go over the impact fee program ordinance. So that's what's before you in this item. This would adopt some changes to the Black Diamond Municipal Code, adding a new chapter governing school impact fees. It would establish the city's authority to begin collecting school impact fees under state law and set the parameters for what kinds of developments are subject to impact fees, what kinds would be exempt, as well as some of the administrative details for how the program would be conducted. So this plan doesn't actually impose any particular fee, but it does establish the program authority as well as the formula and the process for putting those in place. And I know we've answered a lot of questions in the past, but I'm happy to answer any additional questions on the ordinance tonight.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 20-1146, adding new chapter 3.70, the Black Diamond Municipal Code, establishing a school impact fee program requiring the execution of interlocal agreements between the city and the participating school districts, authorizing the imposition and collection of impact fees by the city on behalf of participating school districts on new development impacting school facilities, providing the formula for calculating impact fees, and providing procedures for impact fee credits, appeals, and refunds, all as authorized by the Growth Management Act and RCW 82.02.050 through 82.02.100, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second the motion.
Okay, so Councilmember Oglesby, you had a...
Yes, I just wanted to... I was just referring to some of the emails we received during... earlier this week regarding this, and especially on page number 18 and 19 when it comes to the calculations that was brought up by a concerned resident. So I just want to let you guys know that we have read those and took those in consideration in our decision-making and my decision-making this evening. I do see some of those people online listening as well. So just want to bring that to them and let you know that I have read them and took that in consideration. And I'm in favor of this.
Councilmember Stout.
This ordinance is long overdue. The city needs to be in full support of establishing impact fees to support the school districts, the four of them that are in our city. As Councilmember Oglesby said, we've received quite a few pieces of comment from citizens, pro and con this ordinance. And one of the comments said that at the last meeting or one of the meetings that the council seemed to be confused about what's going on. And I will say that it is a complicated matter. And if you just read the formula, that is a very complicated, detailed process that needs to be used. I'm not confused about what's going on. We have talked about this for literal years now. And we have had input from the school districts, input from our own city attorney, input from school district attorney, a lot of input from citizens. I've sat down with the former president of the school board. We have discussed this until we feel like we're doing exactly the right thing. We need to not let building go on in the city of Black Diamond that is not supporting the impact to the school districts. And so the complicated factor is not of our making. We didn't invent this process, but this is a process that needs to be used to do the right thing in all the various school districts within our city. So it's a big leap forward to get this ordinance in the Black Diamond Municipal Code and to support our schools.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yes, I just want to thank all the public for their comments, right, both for and against. And I don't think actually we got any against the actual ordinance setting up the impact fees. I think the concern was really around the percentage. And we've confirmed that with both the school and with the attorneys and stuff like that. And I think we've all probably talked to David and Denise about, okay, what number is the right numbers and how does this all work and that kind of stuff. Like Council Member Stout said, this is not a an easy. It's a complicated setup, right? It's almost as complicated as the TRD stuff. So I'm excited to see this move forward because we do need to make sure that as the development goes on outside of the master developments, that they are also contributing to school facilities.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, and I want to echo everything that was already said tonight. This has been a really long time coming, and my concern would be that if we continue to wait until we got different calculations, we'd just be kicking that can down the road even further than necessary. I wanted to extend a welcome and an appreciation for the school board, the school board members here tonight, the staff members here tonight from the various districts that we're bringing into these ordinances. So thank you for being here. And this is something that I'm hoping will increase that partnership with our districts in each level. But to go even to some of the comments that were made or those emails that were written to us about concerns about the exact number that we would be the exact percentage that we'd be asking in terms of these fees. I think this goes to a larger question that is beyond the scope of even our school districts about how we're funding our schools. What I heard from that overall was the concern about, you know, the levies and the bonds and things of that nature. And it's true. It's a very difficult conundrum for school districts historically. So I would just ask that we really look at that bigger picture about how we fund our schools. And that's going to go way beyond the impact fees. But we do need to have the impact fees on this book. And we do need to pass it before all this development happens and each of these school districts lose out on a lot of this money. So again, I'm really glad to see so many from various districts here tonight, and I look forward to passing each and every one of these bonds or these ordinances. Bonds too.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, and I just to build back on that, I do agree. You know, the percentage was a big conversation. A lot of our emails from our concerned citizens. And I hear you guys, and I understand that, you know, we want development to pay for growth. My concern about that is if we ask too much from development, you know, what's the chance of them causing, you know, having calculations and impacts? What's the chance, you know, if we ask the developers too much money at this time, that they can then challenge, you know, the schools and make if a builder can challenge the general impact for fee formula calculations as being accurate or inappropriate for the builders, particularly projects, it could cause more of a damage for the school, I guess, in that sense. The developer can challenge the schools if we set the fee too high. That also concerns me as if we do set the fee higher than the 50%, you know, we're looking at possibly developers raising the price of houses that they sell. So what are we looking at in general in our community? Are we looking at a community that we're going to be half a million and higher houses all throughout Black Diamond, or are we gonna be able to allow affordable houses throughout the community as well? So there's a lot more than just the school impact fees that we have to look at that will, there's always a, something's going to happen, a chain reaction once we set the impact fees. So, you know, if it's either 50% or 25%, we're going to give them, you know, and remember what, as talking to our, you know, city staff and, you know, people that I appreciate, they reminded me that, you know, this is adjustable fee. So each year that we come back, we can always adjust the fees. I mean, we can set a fee at this time, but we can always look at next year, if look back and talk to schools. If it didn't work, let's adjust that fee. Let's see what does work. And it's a start. You know, we can always start somewhere and go bigger. But definitely if the school's requesting that this 50% is what they feel is calculated as good for them, you know, it's challenging to disagree with that, you know, and it's a starting point. But I might be mumbling, but anyway, just kind of a lot of thoughts going through my head and lots of decision making.
Councilmember Stout.
If I could change anything about this whole deal process, I would change the terminology from discount to local share. The word discount makes it sound like we're giving a bargain to somebody, you know, 50% off. And that is not what we're doing. We're not giving a big break to a developer so that he can, you know, stick it to somebody else. This is part of the process of building and funding schools. There are different one of our residents said to me, you have to think of it in the way of streams of money. Schools are paid for through various streams of money, and impact fees is one of them. We cannot require a builder, either a master plan developer and their builders, or a small builder within the city, to pay 100%. They have a local share that they are required to pay. And what we have been doing is collecting impact fees from the master plan development builders and zero from the other people who are building houses in Black Diamond outside of the master plan development. So this ordinance affects the master plan development. It changes the fee that they've been paying for the last several years. And there is a bucket of money in Enumclaw School District to the tune of a few million dollars. I haven't checked in to see what that number is right now, but I do sit on the finance committee and I see every month a few $100,000 that go into that account. So we have been collecting it, and now we need to do the rest and let the other builders also pay their fair share outside of the master plan development. So local share, not necessarily discount. I know discount is the legal term, but I want to call it local share. So there.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, I agree with you, Council Member Stout. You know, is that something we can change in this, the wording of that? I mean, that does make it sound a little better. I feel like a discount is making developers think they're getting a discount. That's not what we're offering here. Because that discount or local share can change from year to year.
I think it's probably really a legal terminology that's been used throughout. And I wouldn't want to mess with it, David.
Okay. Mr. Linehan?
The word discount actually doesn't appear in the ordinance. That's not the, it's local share is what the school districts call it in their capital facilities plans. It's the capital facilities plans that you've just adopted into our comprehensive plan. So local share is the technical term. Discount is just what people tend to call it because it's a more intuitive idea, I guess, for how the formula gets calculated, but it is really the local share.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. And I think just to add to one other point to that as well, this is also just fitting in with the greater precedent that there are very few cities that don't offer this kind of quote unquote discount. So we're really in league with other cities, other school districts that are doing this kind of work. So if I understand all the reading correctly on that, but I appreciate all the walkthroughs, all the conversations that were leading up to this. Again, it was really long overdue. And as somebody who, you know, as I mentioned, in prior sessions for this as well. As a former educator myself, and actually for two of these districts that are represented here tonight, I understand incredibly what this money will mean to these districts that are growing rapidly, already are in need of this kind of cash flow. So I'm really excited that we're going to be doing this. And again, those larger questions about how we go from here in terms of funding, those are all great questions. Not all of that is going to be answered tonight. And I'd say for those residents who really care about making sure that we fund the things more equitably with our schools, to take that back to your legislators, because we're just here to also make sure that for the growth that's happening, that we are paying for that growth. And again, we can fine tune things, we can go back, but this is all what's been arranged for quite a while. So, and really, yeah, long overdue. So again, we'll be passing them tonight, and I'm glad about that.
So I believe we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution regarding an interlocal agreement with the Auburn School District relating to school impact fees.
Thank you, Mayor. I implied Mr. Linehan into that. What you have before you is a series of four agenda items. We'll start with the first one. This is an interlocal agreement with the Auburn School District. As you may recall from one of our first work sessions or discussions of this topic, I mentioned that there were four hurdles to clear to get from the beginning to an actual impact fee program that's collecting money and sending it to schools. You've now cleared hurdles one and two. You got the comp plan amended to include the school's capital facilities plans, and you've just passed the school impact fee authorization ordinance. So you have those first two hurdles cleared. This is your third hurdle. And so you've got one of the conditions in the ordinance that you just adopted is that before the city will collect impact fees for a particular school district, the city has to have an interlocal agreement with that school district that spells out the collection details of how they will be collected, when they will be turned over, how the accounting is done, and the responsibilities of the school district versus the city in making sure that the program runs smoothly. So each of these four school districts has an ILA that's included in your packet. This first one is the Auburn School District. All four of the agreements are the same, except there is one minor variation in the Enumclaw School District one, which I will point out when we get to that item on the agenda list. So any other questions, I'm happy to answer. Otherwise, I think it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. Well, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1376, authorizing execution of the interlock local agreement with the Auburn School District relating to the operation and administration of the school impact fee program.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is a resolution regarding the interlocal agreement with the Enumclaw School District relating to school impact fees. Mr. Linehan.
Thank you. So Council, this is a virtually identical version of the previous agreement, this time with Enumclaw School District. The one slight variation here is in section two, which is the responsibilities of the city section. Because as you'll recall, the Enumclaw School District is the district that the Ten Trails development lies in, and there are separate school mitigation fees being collected under a separate agreement there. There's a provision in this that relates to providing certificates of payment of fees. That's just a unique thing, the way that the Ten Trails development process works. That requirement is not included with the other school districts because they don't have that separate school mitigation agreement in place. So that's the primary difference in these two agreements and this agreement versus the other ones.
All right. Well, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1377, authorizing execution of an interlocal agreement with the Enumclaw School District relating to operation and administration of the school impact fee program.
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
I'll make a quick comment, Mayor. I was able to attend the last Enumclaw School Board meeting where they were discussing this as an item of agenda. And I appreciate that they are excited that we are moving forward on it. I know this has been a considerable amount of discussion. So again, looking forward to passing this tonight.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution regarding interlocal agreement with the Kent School District relating to school impact fees. Mr. Linehan.
So same song and dance, another version of the ILA this time for the Kent School District. Same terms as the others.
All right, well, I will make a motion on that one. As a Kent graduate and former employee, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1378, authorizing execution of an interlocal agreement with the Kent School District relating to operation and administration of the school impact fee program.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is a resolution regarding interlocal agreement with the Tahoma School District relating to school impact fees. Mr. Linehan.
Thank you, Mayor. So we move now to the east side of Lake Sawyer for the Tahoma School District. Same agreement. And if you have any questions, happy to answer them.
I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1379. Authorizing execution of an interlocal agreement with the Tahoma School District relating to operation and administration of the school impact fee program.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is an ordinance adopting school impact fees. Mr. Linehan.
Thank you, Mayor. So you've now cleared three hurdles. This is hurdle number four. This is the ordinance to actually impose the specific impact fees for development, residential development within each of the four school districts. So you'll see that section one is the impact fees recommended by the Auburn School District. Section two are the impact fees recommended by the Enumclaw School District. Section three are the impact fees recommended by the Kent School District, and section four is the impact fees recommended by the Tahoma School District. And you'll see each of those is broken out by single family versus multifamily as required under our ordinance. Section five of the ordinance directs the adjustment of the city's fee schedule to include those impact fees on the fee schedule, and also authorizes our finance director to determine an appropriate administrative charge to tack on to the building permit school impact fee when it's applied for by a builder for when they collect their or when they apply for their building permit. So those are the key highlights of this ordinance. And if anybody has any question or further discussion, I'm available. And I also noticed that Ms. Stiffarm is on the line if anybody has any questions about the specific numbers.
Well, I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1147, adopting a school impact fee schedule, authorizing an additional fee for administering the school impact fee program, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Stout.
I would just like to thank Attorney Linehan, Attorney Stiffarm, the various school boards who have worked on this project. It is complicated, you know, taking into account four different school districts and an impact fee process or agreement already in place with the master plan development. All those things made the whole thing really complicated. And I think it's why it took a really long time, even though it was frustrating for us, we wanted to have it done. I'm just really grateful for the final product. And I think this will be a great thing for the citizens of Black Diamond and the school districts going forward. And thank you so much for your hard work.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, and I do look forward to the next year in reviewing this and seeing if the numbers do need to be increased or decreased or whatever it might be when we get the school's capital impact plan that they provide every single year. So I look forward to speaking to the school, working with the schools to find out if this percentage is the ideal percentage or do we need to increase it next year. So with that, you know, I agree with this as well.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yes, I'd like to add that this has been a lot of work. Thank you everybody for your assistance and bearing with us as we try to understand this very complex schedule. One thing that is nice, it's now part of our fee schedule, so we can update it as needed. It's not set in stone permanently. It's something that we can update as we find appropriate.
And I Councilmember De Leon.
I think the other council members already addressed what I was going to say, but again, I'm really glad to see the board members and staff on the call. So that will be part of the ongoing relationship that we'll be building together, just to reiterate that then. Thank you.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is an ordinance amending the Black Diamond Municipal Code relating to moorage and anchorage restrictions on Lake Sawyer. And I don't know if Barbara finished the SEPA on that. Did you get that finished, Barbara?
No, Mayor, I have not completed the SEPA, although we will be doing a DNS on that.
So we're going to have to postpone this to the next meeting, but the whole thing with this moorage and anchorage is there's a 30-foot boat that has been moored on the lake off and on for three weeks, I guess. And it's a 30-foot cabin cruiser that has the potential to pollute the lake. And I've had many, many, many complaints about it and wanting to not to have an ordinance similar like Lake Meridian has so that we can't have boats that are not associated with a dock or a property owner on the lake. And so since we're going to move this out, if you have any questions, be sure and let me know or let me know as we move along. But it's really bothered a lot of people that these people have free moorage where in any other circumstance, in any other lake, they would be paying for a mortgage. And they have restrictions on Lake Washington and Lake Sammamish too for mooring boats just indiscriminately out in the middle and or wherever. And so I just figured that it was probably a good thing for the people that live on the lake and for the safety of people that use the lake not to have a very large boat object out there that potentially can get in the way of boating traffic. Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you, Mayor. And I think with that in mind, I know that that's been something that I've been having conversations with other residents about is just overall questions about lake safety. I know Councilmember Page was addressing some similar, not exactly that concern, but other concerns related to the safety on Lake Sawyer. Of course, that's even more pressing because of recent and tragic events. But I'm hoping then that as we move forward on this particular issue with the boat, that we can also, or you know, boat sizes and whatnot, that we can also address some of the other concerns related to the wake or related to even, I think, access to the lake in general was another question that a resident had. So I think it sounds like we'll have a theme for a while of issues pertaining to access and safety on Lake Sawyer, so.
Councilmember Stout.
I think everything we do as a city regarding the lake needs to preserve the use of the lake for as many people as possible. So many people live on the lake, but many people live nowhere near the lake and still use it for recreation and, you know, there are all kinds of things to do at the lake, whether you're walking nearby or boating or fishing or swimming. And we need to keep in mind all the uses of the lake, all the people who use the lake and preserve that beautiful natural resource that we have. So once Ms. Kincaid finishes up with the documentation that she needs to do, I look forward to having this come back to our agenda.
Okay. Councilmember Wisnowski, did you? Okay.
No, I'm just seconding what Councilmember Stout said. Look forward to passing this.
So, thank you so much, and we'll have it on the agenda for the first meeting in September. I think by then Barbara will be done. She was going to try to get it done for this, but that didn't happen. Department reports, Chief Kiblinger.
Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First, I just wanted to say my condolences to Craig Goodwin and his family. My thoughts and prayers are with them during this tough time. Yesterday, as most of you know, I sent you out our public information bulletin, but we had our first drowning, at least in my 23 years here, and I think the mayor's lived there 40-some, first drowning that we've had. It was a 27-year-old male who decided to go swimming with his brother after working on the lake. His four brothers were out there doing construction. We had the autopsy today, and it was confirmed just a drowning. I don't say just a drowning, but there wasn't any other causes, at least, that we know at this time. The toxicology and stuff isn't back, but that's what we know now. So, again, tragic. But that's, as far as the investigation goes, that's where we're at.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any other questions? Yeah. And if you have any other details, let me know. I put most of it out as soon as I got it to you. So hopefully everybody got it and had a chance to look at it.
Chief Smith, do you have a report?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, I guess, is the brush fire that we had last Friday south of Tank Trails. And we've been looking at that every day, and you know, it's pretty much, it is out, 100% out. So anyway, I just wanted to thank the contractors that helped us with extinguishing that. Number two is, I guess, is the drowning. Not much to say about that other than, you know, people get on the water and they just need to be careful. That's actually our fourth drowning we've had this year. Most of them have been on the river. So we also have three of our wildland firefighters over in Eastern Washington under a state mobilization. They were at the Badger Lake fire, and that fire was pretty much surrounded and extinguished, so they were sent to the Chapman Lake fire, and both those fires are over in Cheney. And we expect to have those three individuals back probably in about 2 days. Two of those folks that went over to that fire actually spent 24 hours on the fire out by 10 Trails. So I imagine they'll be getting tired of hot, dirty work, smoky work. On September 21st, I'll have one of my captains and one of my lieutenants will be flying to Appleton, Wisconsin, which will be the pre-build conference for your Pierce fire apparatus, and they'll be flying back on the 24th. Our district M&O levy passed at 62%, and that we had to have a super majority in order to pass that, 60 plus one. So I want to reach out and thank all of our citizens of Mountain View supporting us on that. We've hired two career firefighters, and they'll be starting their academy September 1. And next week, we start our interviews for the new deputy chief's position. And that's all I have, unless there's a question.
Thank you, Chief Smith. it's time for the mayor's report, and I just wanted to point out that Craig Goodwin was my first mentor when I joined the council in 2012, and I admired him a lot. I'm very sad to see him gone. He had his own website, Black Diamond Now, and it was very inspiring. He got a lot of information on his website to share with everybody, and it will be really sad to not be able to have him sharing it. I just try to remember that he was doing what he wanted to do, hiking and taking pictures, because that's what he liked to do. So I'm very sad about that. I've had a couple mayor's meetings in the last couple of weeks and talking about when people were going to open up, and people are talking about maybe not even opening up next year, that they're worried about the virus coming back. And so we just are keeping in contact with what each city is doing, and what kind of demonstrations they've had. And there's a lot of talk about homeless, and we're lucky that we don't have a facility where King County can just put a facility in our city without even notifying us, because those cities, Auburn and Kent and Renton, are very upset that they were never notified in advance about having these homeless people in their cities. So we're just lucky that we haven't had that happen to us, because it's really hard to handle when you don't have a large police force. And it's just ongoing that people are staying home and trying to keep people working at home and rotating their hours and their schedules so that they can get their work done and they don't necessarily have to have a 9-to-5 job, that they can work whatever hours it takes to get their job done so that they can take care of their kids and do homeschooling. And so I think that's really important. So Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, thank you. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend the work study last week, and I still haven't had a chance to listen to the audio, but I promise I will, and give you guys feedback to all the rest of the council members and residents. Just want to, again, iterate with Carol there, with Craig Goodwin. He was my mentor when I first came on city council as well. He did an amazing mentor job with my son Cole when he graduated high school with his senior project and taking photos. So I know that was his passion. As a business owner, I purchased many of his photos and cards to put in my shop. And knowing that all the funds that we paid for his photos and pictures went directly to the Black Diamond Community Center, he didn't keep any of the profit, which is an amazing thing. And I hope and pray that we can continue to support the community center through Craig Wynn's beautiful photos and cards and things, and be able to purchase more of those in the future. I do look forward to keeping his memory alive and his beautiful photographs in my shop and in my home to help support the local community. I do want to look forward to reaching out to Mr. Nathan Jeffrey, who from 10 Trails, regarding some conversation about community building between 10 Trails and Black Diamond, and how we can get more involved with our community and doing more activities, volunteer works through other like the community center and things like that, and Labor Days and Miners Days. We are looking forward to building that bridge between all of our residents, new and past, to keep these times and these long 100-year-old traditions alive, and, you know, keep the fire burning. I do look forward to that conversation in the future. Other than that, you know, I hope everybody is well. I know this COVID time has definitely been weighing a lot on our mental status, you know, and families are going through a lot of different tests. And I just pray and hope that we can stay strong mentally and physically to get through this and coming out stronger than we ever have in our community. I know this is very challenging for me as a council member in this time. And I do encourage, we do have an election coming up, and maybe I can't even say that, but I encourage people to get involved in their community and look forward to seeing what our city turns out to be in the future.
Councilmember Wisniewski.
I also want to send my condolences to Craig's family. Craig and I, we talked a lot. We didn't always agree on things. I stole his pictures from my wallpaper on my phone and my laptop a lot. But my condolences to Judy and the family. I want to send a big thanks out to both 10 Trails and Goodfellows for helping with the wildland fire suppression. That was a big help. I know Chief had said that before, but wanted to reaffirm that. And I also wanted to note good news. The museum reached their goal to get their new furnace and air conditioning, and that is, from what I understand, already in. So thanks again for 10 Trails for helping out with that. That was a big plus. And thank you, I think Brian's probably still on the phone, to Brian and Aaron for helping out with that. Let's see. There's also an effort out there to get donations to help some children, less fortunate children of color that may not have internet connections at home as we get to the school year. They're pushing to get big hotspots for them. So reach out to Jenny Latham or Megan Sheridan and make a donation if you can. Attended the finance committee last week. We talked about the stuff we talked about today. So not going to rehash all that. But once again, thanks, May, for kind of going through all the finances with us. It's greatly appreciated for us to understand where all the dollars and cents come and go. I did want to, is Barb still on the phone? I had a couple questions and I'm thinking maybe we might have a better way to do this than me asking questions, but there are some, every week I kind of go through the city website and look at the permits and stuff that are out there. Could you kind of give us an update? I know there are currently 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of development efforts underway, right? There's the Foothills Village, there's the Black Diamond Crossing, there's the additional housing units at Rainier View, and then there's also the additional building at Diamond Square.
And then one other council member, Wisnowski, is the, it's called the Retail South, and it's also on Highway 169. It's right next to Columbia Bank. That's the site that's cleared. Did you hear that okay? Do I need to...
I didn't. It cut out for me. So
okay. I'll turn my video off just in case that's the problem. There's another one that is called Retail South. That's the 5-acre piece that's next to Columbia Bank that's cleared. And that is a proposal for a retail commercial development.
Okay. So those permits are where are we in kind of the permitting process for some of those? I know there's the Rainier View. They want to add 22 more units. I think the Foothills was the 4 retail parcels. The Black Diamond Crossing was that 30 acres with retail and multifamily units. And then the Diamond Square additional building.
Yeah, and I also forgot the Tamarack, the senior housing project. That's across from the Lake Sawyer Grocer. So where are we with those? Will you want me to run through each one? They're all in different stages. I mean... Essentially, those are projects that have to go through a pretty extensive process. A couple of them have already had been through the SEPA process, and a few of them have not. The SEPA process is something that Seth Botcher and I work on together because the transportation impacts analysis is critical, as you all know. And so there's back and forth on determining the pro rata share or the fair share of development that occurs outside of 10 trails to be able to analyze what those other developers need to be paying into the transportation improvement dollars that we have under the developer agreement.
What's the best way, Barb, for a citizen, if they're interested in status and kind of more info on all these, for them to go out and look at these? I'm just trying to think out in a transparency kind of way, what's the best way for an average Joe Black Diamond citizen to go figure out what's in the hopper and what details they can figure out and what the next steps are?
Well, we have it's called Citizens Connect. So the Citizens Connect platform, if someone were to go onto the internet, if they had internet access, they could Google Citizens Connect City of Black Diamond. That will bring them up to this link. This link has a map. The map has little pinpoint dots on where development permits are pending or being worked on. They can hover over that dot and get the name of the permit. They can then go through Citizens Connect and actually plug that permit number in, get a little more information, and then ultimately, if they would like to have even more information, my staff and myself, we are available through the telephone or our email addresses. Our email addresses are on the webpage. I've also put that out in some newsletter articles, trying to make sure that people know how to get a hold of us.
Okay. Is that the same map that's on the city website with all the red dots under permitting?
Yep.
Okay. All right, thanks. Is Andy still on the line?
Is who?
Mr. Williamson.
Oh.
Andy has never been in attendance.
No, he wasn't here today.
Okay, I will, because there's an amendment to the Lawson Hills MPD that I thought maybe he might want to elaborate on. I didn't see Seth either. Do we have an update on the chipping of the trees on Railroad Ave? Because I see the piles are still there. Do we have a timeline for folks?
I don't know, and he's not here either, so.
Okay, I'll follow up with him with an email. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that if we're going to do that, that we make sure we let the local residents know when that's going to happen so they can plan accordingly for sound and all that kind of stuff. Because now that a lot of people are working from home, that's a lot of sound, right, to go through that, because those tub chippers are not quiet. So,
Council Member Stout?
Were you finished, Mr. Wiz?
Yeah, I think that's it.
I just want to say that if it were not for Craig Goodwin, I would not be here, for sure. He asked me to run for city council. I told him no. He asked me to reconsider. I told him no. He asked to buy me a cup of peppermint tea at the bakery, and I fell for it. And we had a great conversation where he explained the process of serving on the city council, and I told him I would consider it. He helped me, he supported me, he was very kind, he was very logical, he called me out when I had some wrong ideas about what was going on, and he helped me understand. He campaigned with me, he doorbelled with me, he walked through the city of Black Diamond with me, along with Judy also. He carried my water bottle. Craig Goodwin was a very good man, and we will miss him. Excuse my emotion. I just wanted to also say that performing CPR for our off-duty firefighter and our police officer is actually very traumatic. You can say, you know, it's part of their job, but if you have never experienced active CPR, it is not what it looks like on TV. You know, it becomes very real, and it doesn't go away. And so my heart goes out not only to the loss of the young man who drowned in Lake Sawyer, but also to our firefighter and our police officers who were involved in his rescue, because that's a really, really difficult experience. And bystanders also really will struggle with that. And so grateful to our first responders who are there when we call. And I appreciate that so much. I don't know if it is relevant, but Chief Smith, I'm so curious about that fire south of 10 Trails. It was in the middle of nowhere. How does a fire like that start? I mean, as far as I know, we didn't have any lightning, but suddenly there's fire in the middle of brush.
Well, there appeared to be, I don't know if they were homeless people. There was some human activity in that area. And it appeared that there had been for years. I mean, there I saw signs in there that said, you know, people had been camping and had campfires in there 2-3 years ago. And this was a current camp. I don't know if the people were actually living there, but, you know, they had been in there, and looks like they had removed materials from the housing projects and hauled it all the way. I mean, it was, I know it was 1.2 miles from the road back to where the fire was. So that was about half. So they were about 1.2 miles away from 10 Trails, because it was about halfway between. So they had hauled building materials in there and built a little camp, and there were fires, and it looked like there was a lot of, there was a vehicle back there that had been stripped. It was pretty common sight to see that in wooded areas all around us. You know, we talk about not having homeless people, but I guarantee you they're there. You don't see them because they're in the woods, and we see them all the time. So it was human caused, and somebody had been back there and had a fire.
Well, that makes a lot more sense than just a random fire popping up in the middle of nowhere. As far as my activities, I attended a Sound Cities Association social justice and equity panel comprised of youth of color. And they were some really amazing high school and young college students who were very well spoken, who participate in their communities on various different committees and panels, working for social justice in their own communities. And they were able to share their stories, experiences that they've had, and just kind of bring to the table some of the things that are going on in our communities that we may not even know about if we live in a sheltered kind of a world. So that was a good panel. I attended the Finance Committee meeting and Public Works Committee. In Public Works, we went over laboriously the first four chapters of the water system plan. And we were supposed to go over five chapters, but Seth asked us if we could quit because he said he was weary. So it was pretty exhausting to go over every detail of that, and we'll continue with that at our next meeting. I just want to say that I'm really grateful that we are social distancing or physical distancing, as the case may be. But at the same time, I don't like it. I don't like Zoom meetings. I don't like seeing little black squares. I don't like, kind of barely raising our hand. I just don't like it. It does not allow for the best community involvement. It has a very lack of spontaneity. I miss our public comments at the beginning of a meeting and our public comments at the end of a meeting. And I just want to say that to any community members who are with us tonight or who may listen later, we would love to hear from you. If you just have comments about what you love about your city or what you're frustrated about, we would like to hear that. We can't fix everything. We're legislators, so to speak, in the city, but we want to listen. And I look forward to the day when we're not remote from one another, but this is where we are now. And at least we have this now. So I'm grateful for it, but I don't like it. And that is the end of my report.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. I wanted to start by also echoing my deepest condolences to the Goodwin family. Seeing that first thing this morning that he died so suddenly and tragically, it's just heartbreaking. And, you know, he leaves behind such a legacy. I know that when I was running, and even now that I've started serving on the city council, he was just an amazing support, offering all these great insights, sharing his own personal accounts of what it was like to serve. Just he's incredibly supportive, and just he was such an asset to the city in so many ways. So I know his family's going to miss him, his loved ones are going to miss him, and he's going to leave such a hole in our city. So I hope that, you know, we can continue on with a lot of the great work that his legacy has now. It's a legacy now, yes. But at any rate, with that, it's hard to go from that to then the other council report parts, but I just wanted to start with that expression. I guess same thing though, condolences too to the folks, you know, those grieving the loss of life on Lake Sawyer. We want to enjoy all this beautiful nature out here, and unfortunately that comes with a lot of really tragic things that happen where people do lose their lives. So I appreciate what Councilmember Stout also mentioned to that effect, that it's a shared trauma. It's not just one person's trauma. So to the first responders that were aiding in that, thank you for your work, and I wish for your healing as well. I guess with that in mind, I can start some of the council reports, including what was mentioned earlier, that I'm glad that we are working to approach some topics related to safety on the lake. As mentioned earlier, I know this is something that residents have spoken with me about. I've been communicating back and forth a little bit. It sounds like that'll be coming up soon on an agenda in some of the committees I'm in. So that is going to be something that we're looking at. And I'm glad to know that we'll be talking about ongoing safety so we can mitigate as much of this as possible and make sure that as people are social distancing, enjoying the beautiful nature that we have in this city, that we're doing it way and that more people can access it. I did attend the Public Works Committee session as well. And it was a really thorough overview of some of the issues we have related to our water supply. That's going to just be something that's going to be on the forefront of our minds as our city grows. So I appreciate the thorough walkthrough to make sure that we are as caught up to speed as we can as people who are, at the end of the day, not the experts who do this for a living. So I appreciate Seth's walkthrough on that. I attended the work study, and I'm excited for what we're going to be doing next with these various topics, including even how we move forward as a council. I just appreciate in general the correspondence with our staff members, so I was able to also talk with, as mentioned earlier, with May and talking a little bit more with Barb and just communicating. I appreciate the correspondence we can have with our staff members and just Andy's willingness to just say, hey, let's schedule a meeting and let's talk, because that does go directly back to that transparency issue. But of course, as we're talking about budgeting, it's going to be super important that we talk about how we build that infrastructure for the online permitting and how we're just making citizens more aware. I know I said that at the past council meeting. I'll just continue to reiterate it that it's going to be really important that we make sure that we set aside the funds for the infrastructure for any such projects. And that also goes a little bit to just echoing what Councilmember Oglesby said last time as well. I appreciate our work in trying to find ways to budget for staff positions that can help us with those various roles, including helping and supporting our staff further on the city staff level. As our city grows, as we council members and mayors, we come and go, the city staff are going to be continuing to be that strong backbone. So finding ways, for example, to budget for a manager in the years to come is going to be a very crucial part of that. I guess I wanted to, it'll be good to talk more with Seth about some of the issues related to the chippers that Mr. Misnowski was mentioning. I know that somewhere in one of the things we approved had a timeline, at least for the contractors in that. So 90 days sticks out in my mind a little bit, but again, I think some of that answer, not fully, but some of it will be answered at least within that kind of timeline in the paperwork. I think otherwise, I will just reiterate too that I did attend the Enumclaw School Board session earlier this week. I found it to be really enlightening. I was glad to listen to more of like the Enumclaw side of the story for questions as they pertain to the impact fees and their eagerness to get us started on that. And by the end of the session, there was a large public comment time period where student after student was sharing some really heartbreaking stories about some of their experiences in the district that I think echoes Councilmember Stout's points earlier too about some of the issues they faced related to discrimination, especially racial and LGBTQ wise. And it does go to show that, this is a very rampant, widespread issue. So to those students, I was listening, keep advocating for what you know is right. We want to make sure that our school boards or our school districts, our school cultures are going to continue to support all of our students. Again, that'll go back to the questions that we have later on as a full council about how we continue to also support schools and support school districts in that kind of effort as well. But again, I just really appreciated the bravery of those students who shared their thoughts with us. It's not something that's only in one school district or in one area of this county, of the state, of this country, but it is something that I hope that we as a community can tackle together. With that in mind, my last other report is, part of my report is a 10 Trails residents that came to us and was proposing an idea of a neighborhood association. This resident had done a little bit of research, sent it on to some of us, and I'm hoping that we can also pursue that as a another way to also build build on those relationships with the older town parts of Black Diamond, as well as the newer town parts and the newer residents in general for Black Diamond. So with that in mind, I think that's finally come to the end. So I appreciate all of the work that we've done tonight, and looking forward to what's to come.
Councilmember Page.
Yes, so I guess the words that come to my mind are, Mr. Goodwin, may the wind be at your back. I know his son, and I know their family, and I know that he will be greatly missed. So that's what I wanted to say on that front. With regard to, you know, the death that we had on the lake, you know, I think information will be forthcoming as to, you know, how that happened in the end. Doesn't really matter. It's a tragic death. But I did mention in our last council meeting my concern for the safety on the lake. I would greatly reiterate my concern for that. I don't think this death had anything to do with some of the concerns that I have, but those concerns remain. You know, there's a lot of activity on the lake. There's a lot of, I'll call it, you know, lack of awareness on the lake by the boaters and other operators. And I think the fact that Lake Taps is going to be restricting access to their park and the access is only going to create a higher burden on our lake. So I don't want to be a Chicken Little here, but I do want to say that I'm very concerned with the safety on our lake. I look out at it and I shake my head and say, I'm not going out there. So I do think as a city council, we need to try and do what we can within our powers to try and affect that. I think when it goes beyond our power, I think we need to reach out and partner with either the county or other legislative bodies to try to create some controls and some rules on the lake that maybe aren't currently in place. So I'm not really going to go beyond that, but I am very concerned, and I just want to be on record that I'm very concerned with the level of activity. I totally understand the other council members' comments that we want this lake to be a lake that people can come to and enjoy, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, dereliction and misbehavior on the lake. So anyways, without being too much of a Debbie Downer, I'm going to move off of that subject and just say that I attended the attended the finance committee meeting. May, you are, if you're still on the line, you are uber prepared for those meetings, and I very much appreciate that. You're very informative. You know every T that's crossed and every I that's dotted. So I want to compliment you on that. And with that, I would like to go ahead and end my report.
Thank you. I believe that Ms. Martinez has a statement to read from Tammy Deedy.
I do, Mayor. She asked me to share it with council since she wasn't going to be here tonight. Craig is one of the reasons I am a council member here in Black Diamond. I had the pleasure of working with Craig as a new council member and Craig being a more seasoned council member. He was always willing to listen and add his vast knowledge to my ideas or concerns. I've always respected his opinion and have recently asked for his advice on issues dealing with city issues. Craig had a deep passion for our community and was a supporter of many nonprofit organizations in our city. His passion for photography and hiking brought all of us to places we may never see in person, but get to witness through Craig's eyes. I will miss our talks about family and the city. He recently helped me with the community center fundraiser. Black Diamond residents have lost a hero but gained an angel looking over all of us. Rest in peace, my dear friend, Craig Goodwin.
Thank you. We do have an attorney report, Mr. Linehan.
Oh gosh, the light just changed. I'm gonna adjust that a bit, sorry. So just wanted to give everyone a brief update on where we are with the City Hall situation. I know that the mayor had previously advised that there was a possibility that the city's current City Hall lease, which is limited to 25% of the City Hall building, could be expanded to cover the whole building and move all city employees into that building under one roof. I have prepared a draft lease to send to the landlord, Mr. Sorcy, for his input, just to see where we are on negotiating a lease that would start January 1. And allow the city to occupy the entire building. Have not made much progress beyond that other than having that initial draft. So hopefully we can provide you with a more detailed update later. There will be some discussions, I'm sure, some negotiations and room for negotiation on what kind of improvements to the building might need to be made in order to allow it to serve as a functional long-term city hall for the city. And so those items have not been ironed out yet, but I can assure you that we will work hard to get those questions answered. And if you have any questions about that process along the way, please feel free to contact me anytime. And hopefully we'll have a more detailed update and maybe something more concrete to share with you next time.
Thank you, David. So we don't have an executive session, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.